to this week's episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, joined here today by Jim Patton, our now complete, I guess, permanent sidekick.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Jim, this is moving into the, I guess, second full week of May. A little bit unseasonably cool.
Well, it's gotten warm today, so it's back warm today, so maybe we got the hot weather coming.
I imagine we do, and if anybody has any questions about that, I think we know a guy they can contact, James Spann.
The boss man.
The boss man, that's right. Well, Jim, you told me I had to admit to everyone that I was a little bit late today, and so that's the reason we're jumping right into our guest. Who do you have for us?
We got Terry Henley sitting here with us today, Auburn legend, and I guess probably I would call him the number one ambassador for Auburn as far as ex-football players. He spends a lot of time and keeps his fingers in a lot of pies on helping people down there, and then he does so many things people don't know about that it's just incredible. I don't see how he finds time to do it. How are you doing, Terry?
Well, Jim, I'm doing well, and I appreciate you saying those kind remarks there. But I don't think it's anything that other than what somebody would do for me.
Well, Terry, I consider you a good friend. You know, I came right after you, and your brother signed in the same signing class as and I met you on recruiting trips and have known you for a long time and really want to thank you, and we're going to get into some of them. Thank you for all the things you have done for people I love and teammates and everything, and I wanted to thank you first. You played on the Maizens, and y'all didn't do a lot of passing back then, did you?
Jim, I mean, there was a reason we were named the Amazings, and it was amazing. Coach Sheridan could get us there at 1 o'clock to play. That was what was amazing about it. I mean, with those wild bunch of heathens I played with. But, yeah, passing was not one of the most primary things that the 72 team it displayed. I mean, when you have a receiver like Sandy Cannon that ends up as your leading receiver and he catches 11 passes all year, that's pretty extraordinary. When you play the number three team in the country and you beat them 10-6 and you throw one pass all day, that's pretty extraordinary. And so I think through the first three ball games, if I remember right, we only threw five passes through the first three ball games. I think we completed two of them.
Yeah, and I remember some stories where in certain games, they already knew where you were going to run the ball. But y'all would actually tell them and point where you're going to run the ball. Tell some of our listeners about that.
Well,
that's pretty interesting.
I mean, Jay Casey and Matt Garando, we only had three returning starters in 1972 after Pat Sullivan. I mean, I played on offense in 71, which we led the nation in scoring. And I caught passes, I run draw plays and all. And so all that was cute and wonderful. But then we went to a run-based offense, I would say. I tell Gus Malzahn today that I'm not sure we had any player smart enough to know his offense. You know, I mean, they couldn't play because we only had a handful of plays, and throwing the ball was not one of them. But every now and then I would get frustrated during a ball game, and I talked a good bit during the ball game. I mean, most people that know me know that I don't shut up too much, but I would tell the other team sometime before we were running the ball. I would come out and holler at them and tell them, here, we're coming right here. Right here is where we're coming. And Jay Casey and Mike Rendo, who are the two returning starters on offense, would come back in the huddle and they'd say, Henley, listen. It's hard enough to block them without them knowing. But when you're telling them, it makes it tougher. So how about stop telling them? And, of course, one of the times, I mean, two or three of the times, you know, we play Tennessee, and I came out and we was third and seven. And I told Jamie Rotella, they're all American linebacker. I said, "Here we come, Jamie. You better get ready. You better get ready." And undoubtedly, he didn't believe me because James always knocked him about 5 yards backwards. And of course, we run, I run up in there for 8 yards and a first down. So, you know, and then we head off to Florida one time, and the second play of the ball game, they're screaming at me and that they tackled me at the line of scrimmage and didn't make any yards. And I came out the second play and hollered at them and said, we're going to run at you again. We're going to run here. We're going to come at you again. We're coming right at you. There's no question about it. You better get ready, 57. I'm telling you, here we come. 1, 2, 3. You ready? And he was over there screaming and, you know, saying he's making fun of us. And they snapped that ball and I went 70 yards on him. So, and Rusty Fuller laid him out parallel, too, when I went by him. So,
Rusty was a last week we had guests. You knew Jim Sermons, I think he was young.
Sad situation last week.
Yeah, and but they were coming back from his funeral. It was Randy Walls, Kenny Burks, Rusty Dean, and Rusty Fuller. So we called them in the car, and that was our show last week. It was us four.
Well, you certainly. I hope you you probably had to do a lot of editing on the, on that show. I was saddened when I got that call, and I was sad that I could not be there. Also, I was in Nebraska, but my heart and prayers go out to Jimmy Sermons and his family for the loss of his wife.
You mentioned Gus Malzahn having a complicated offense. How do you think we're going to do with Gus? What do you think's in the store for Auburn here in the next few years?
Well, Jim, you know, change, believe it or not, change is good. Change is good, unless you're changing wives. I mean, that's not so good. You know, kind of puts you in the poorhouse. But change sometimes is good, and I think Gus is a new, a fresh breath of air. I think Gus is going to bring some discipline. Rodney Gardner, Garner is a disciplined guy. Damian Craig is disciplinarian, and he's going to hold your feet to the fire. And Charlie Harrison, I mean, to me, I think is one of the better defensive secondary coaches around. I've followed his career for a long time, and I think he's going to do very well. I think it was a coup that we pulled off that we got Ellis Johnson. He has been around the league. He understands recruiting areas in different states, and I think he'll do very well. I think he knows exactly what he's faced with these new offenses of today. He's a very smart guy. Everybody says, well, he's funny. You know, well, let me tell you something. You don't hire him because he's funny. You hire him because he knows how to coach defense. And I'm really, really looking forward to the future of the Auburn Tigers.
Well, that's right, Terry, because if they hired him because – they're funny. You'd have been our head coach a long time.
Well, I'll tell you a little story about being funny. I mean, of course, I called the snap count on the spread punts when I was a sophomore, and we were out practicing one day, and I was going to be cute, and we called a color and then a number sequence before we snapped the ball. And Coach Jordan, as you all people that know, Coach Jordan, when he stepped out of his golf cart, it was like freeze tag. You better stop right where you are and not move another inch. I don't care if you were 3 feet in the air, you better learn how to fly until he can come over there because he meant for you to stop. And so we lined up, and I went into Passion Mark Purple 3, Passion Mark Purple 3. And everybody busted out laughing when I said it. And, well, Coach Jordan steps out of the golf cart, and he said, "That's Terry, that was pretty funny. That was funny." And he was smiling. He said, "Everybody laughed, you know." He said, "That was funny." He said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do." He said, "We're going to let you start running." And we practiced on three football fields that were joined together. And He said, we're going to let you start running. And he said, every time you run by us, we're going to laugh at you. How's that sound? He said, so start running. So I think for the next 45 minutes to an hour, all I did was run around the field, and they'd laugh at me as I went by them. And, you know, so, you know, it was not something that he did. Practice was a serious situation for him, you know.
You also mentioned James Owens, who I think was just some kind of pioneer, just the perfect person to be the first scholarship black football player on the Auburn team. And I know he's having some problems. Just tell us about James. Just talk about James a while for us.
Well, they could not have described a better award to present to James Owens, the Courage Award. What he did in 1969 to accept a scholarship to Auburn University took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage. And the reason it took a lot of courage, not because he was first African American. That was a small part of it. But what he had to do to prove himself. That was what the problem was. He felt like he had to do 10 times what anybody else does to prove himself that he was worthy of being there with the rest of us. So James Owens and I were friends from the day we walked in there. He's still my friend today. We've never lost touch from each other. He's got some health issues with his heart that he's trying to get on the heart transplant list. He's got some issues that is preventing that right now. They're trying to work and get around that. But between UAB, one of the best medical facilities in the South or the country, and Emory is working with them. They're working jointly to try to solve his other issues so he can get on the heart transplant list. He's a wonderful person. The awards that have been bestowed on him here of late, representing Auburn University in the championship game in Atlanta is one of the legends. Outstanding award. I mean, chills just run up the back of my neck when I said that. Giving him his honorary degree and setting up on the stage next to Dr. Googe at the graduation here a few months ago. I mean, it just made tears run down your face to see this man. He is a wonderful, wonderful ambassador to Auburn and a wonderful Christian man. And I just, there's not a lot I can say about him. And one heck of a football player. Oh, he was a heck of a football player.
Well, Terry, I'm going to beat your drum a little bit on some things people don't know about. I'm going to ask you some of the organizations you're in and committees and everything with the Letterman Club that take up a lot of time. But one of the things people don't know is, and I've heard so many stories of people being in the hospital, maybe in Boston, and an ex-player, and you just showing up with nobody knowing you were coming, and the letters, and when somebody gets sick, you're the first one to let us all know by email. And some of the things you've done that I've just heard about through the grapevine without going into specifics and names, but I just want to thank you, and I admire you so much for it. And it seems like every month I hear of you doing something else, and I wonder where you get the time, but just gosh, how much we all appreciate it. I want you to know that.
Well, Jim, let me tell you something. Auburn University means so much to me and my family. Without Auburn University, it probably would have been a difficult task for me coming out of Oxford, Alabama. But you know, they've done so much for me, and those guys that I lined up in the huddle with, all the guys that I practiced with. Those are warriors, and you hear guys come back from the war of World War One or Two or Vietnam, and they talk about the guy in the foxhole with them, that they would crawl in a foxhole with this guy any day, and that's kind of the that's kindly the parallel thing to what you are in the huddle, because you win together, you lose together, you practice, you go through winter workouts and all, and you go through lots of laughter and fun and playing jokes on it. There's nothing like being around all those teammates. And I've often said, and I still travel with Auburn University after 40 years. Now, why, I don't know, but they allow me to travel with them to different speaking venues and things. And I tell them all that the worst thing that ever happened to college football was doing away with athletic dorms. The camaraderie and the friendships that are developed at that dorm, and people in people's weddings, people seeing their kids born later on in life, and all of those things is taken away, I feel like now. It took away the family atmosphere, I would say, because Sewell Hall was certainly an experience to live in. And so when one of these guys, one of these warriors, I would say, when they get sick, they would do the same thing for me. I do nothing more than what one of them would do for me. All of those guys. I mean, whether I go, you know, if you say I didn't call somebody, I just pop in. I'm afraid if I call them, they wouldn't tell me where they were, you know? So they may leave before I get there. So, you know, Jim, it's very kind of you to say those things, but I've done nothing more than what somebody would do for me.
Well, you've done more than anybody I've ever heard of. You just think about finding out where somebody's going to go in the hospital, states away, what procedure they're going to have, what part of the hospital they're going to be in, and you get an airplane ticket and fly there, and you've done it more than one occasion with more than one person, as well as a lot of things I probably don't even know about, and I can't tell you enough how much that's appreciated, and how much that makes the Auburn family, how great it makes it look with you just being the ambassador. I think that going to be your nickname for long, because you really are. But you didn't get to go to the 8A game, but just tell us some of the activities you are involved in with Auburn and the Letterman Club, because I know Friday before 8A is a big day for that.
I listened to the game on, you know. Unfortunately, I'm a big turkey hunter, and I wanted to go turkey hunting Saturday morning, and so I didn't go to the 8A game. I listened to it on the radio. I can tell a lot from the radio. Bramlett and White do a good job on describing what's going on to me. But, you know, Friday was just a busy day over there. They had the Letterman's Club board meeting and had some things come up. We had the Letterman's Club golf tournament, which was a full house with that, and it's great to see all those guys. And we had the Tiger Trail induction ceremonies, which with the new inductees went in, and I went by for that. And then we had a evening function, later evening function with James Owens to raise money for him to make him a handicap accessible bathroom. And I'm proud to say that I got a phone call from Rusty Dean today, and they're almost finished with that. And I talked to James this afternoon, and he was excited. He said, "You are going to come down and wash my back the first time I get in." And I said, "No, that's off the list, James."
Terry, also, your brother Mike was a dear friend of mine. We were in the same class and fought a few wars together. And your brother Vic would come visit us in the suite, and he's a professional comedian. Tell us a little bit about your little brothers that you brought up there.
Well, you know, I was raised with two great brothers. I had a mother that was a stern disciplinarian, you know, and she kept us, you know, keeping the three heathers in line was tough enough. I mean, and but it was great with the two brothers I had. We had a wonderful household, and Vic, of course, being the smart kid of the bunch and always wanting to double promote him, and mother never would allow him to do that. She said, no, he's going to be raised with the kids he runs around with. And so she never would let him double promote him, even though he was, you know, so a lot smarter than grade-wise than some of the other kids. And of course, he ends up nationally recognized as an outstanding comedian, you know, all these years later. He helped him start Comedy Central. He's written books. He's performed at president's dinners. You know, he's done everything. So he's a pretty witty guy, I would say. He's a sharp-tongued little devil, as we mother used to call him. You know, you think about wit, and my mother, I remember one time Mike and mother got in an argument, and Mike said, well, let me tell you something, mother, I didn't ask to be brought in this world. And she said, no, let me tell you something else, you were an uninvited guest. So so my mother's pretty witty herself, you know. So, but we had a great, we were raised in Oxford there, and it was a wonderful time of life, and a great place to raise a family.
Well, Terry, we appreciate
If I can steal a microphone from Jim, we only have two microphones with this high-budget show outfit we've got here.
Yeah.
But, Terry, we've got a few more minutes here, and you were talking earlier about you kind of had a tendency to run your mouth a little bit out on the field, and some of the Auburn fans will recall a little game you played in where a coach from across the state was running his mouth a little bit before the game. And if I'm not mistaken, you said that Auburn was going to beat the number two out of the currently ranked number two?
Yes, I did.
Which ultimately turned into the game known as Punt Bama Punt.
That's correct.
And Bill Newton was with us and talked about his memories of that game. And I just wanted to see if you could share a few of those memories you might have with us.
Well, it was a wonderful ball game. I mean, we won. That's the main thing about it. I didn't gain enough yards that day to put a mobile home on, but I mean, we the whole offense, running and throwing. I think we had 78 yards running and throwing. And I don't of the 78, I think I had 55 of them or something like that. So it wasn't like we were a juggernaut on the offensive side of the ball that day. But defensively, we played well. They made some mistakes. We cashed in on those mistakes. And then, of course, Coach Bryant teeing us off to start with by saying comments he said. And, of course, I wasn't afraid to lash out at him, and I did lash at him. I thought it was ill-mannered for an old man like him to call another team by name, especially one he hadn't beaten. And they were the number two team in the country, and I said, so let's go beat the number two out of them. You know, so that's John Hannah often says that Auburn scored three, Santa Claus gave them 14, you know. So, you know, that's fine, John, we'll take that. I mean, if Santa Claus wants to bring it, we'll take it from the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny. It doesn't make any difference. But we won the ball game, and it will go down in Auburn history as one of the most exciting ball games to ever play. And I thank the good Lord every day that he gave me a chance to play with those 22 guys on that amazing team. They were wonderful, wonderful teammates and some of the toughest, roughest guys ever put on an Auburn uniform. And no disgrace for anyone that played before or after.
Well, Terry, that season, I remember it well. I was a senior in high school. And Y'all had some tough games and seemed to always win them, but then you went to the bowl game. I thought was the best game y'all played all year because you just demolished them.
We wore them out.
Yeah, tell the people about that game and some of the people that were on the other side of the football.
Well, we played Colorado in the bowl game, and Colorado was the preseason number one national champ pick to win it all in 1972. And they had a bunch of All-Americans, Charlie Davis, and just a whole host of guys that were All-Americans on that other team, and a couple of them I played in the Senior Bowl with, and later were on when I was trying to play in the NFL, when the NFL stands for not for long, that's what. So those guys, they have some outstanding football players. That particular day, though, they really insulted us at the banquet. We had a banquet together, and our guy, Mike Neal, got up and said, "We're happy to be here, and thank you, and, you know, thank you for the Gator Bowl letting us come down here, and this has just been fun," and all this. And Colorado guy gets up there and said, "Hey, that's enough of this talk. Let's blow this place," you know. And all their players start screaming and hollering, you know, they just were insulting all week. Yeah, they look at me and say, "You're a little guy." I said, "But I'm twice as mean as you are, bud." You know, so, you know, it ended up we beat them 24-3, but we really just crushed them, embarrassed them, really. The preseason number one team in the country.
Well, Terry, Adam, you got anything else to ask Terry?
Yeah, Terry, have you been following any of the design plans for the new Toomer's Corner?
Well, I saw the drawings that they put. They've displayed, and it's you know. And I talked to Sarah Newton the other day, and she was very funny when she's on the board of trustees, of course, and she was very funny that, you know, my suggestion really was I thought they would. The way that people can do bronzes today, that they would put bronze trees with, you know, because they look so real, they make them leaves and everything. And she's made the comment, she said, "Listen, we're one of the leading holder culture schools in the country. You telling me we can't grow two trees and put on that corner?" You know, and she's exactly right. And it's going to be beautiful, and it will be a welcome sight for all the Auburn fans for many years to come. And, you know, and we can forget about that booger eating mole run that did the damage to the things. And let me say that that's not all Alabama people. That's this one sick person, okay, that did this. I mean, a lot of the Alabama people feel bad about this situation, I've gotten notes, emails, and everything about how they felt about it. So, but the Auburn people will forever have that corner to celebrate on, I assure you.
We appreciate you being here this week with us. One of our few live guests we've actually had, Jim. You did a good job this week.
Well, I'm glad I'm alive. I mean, you know, I like it. Like I ever tell everybody, I'd rather be seen than viewed any day, you know. So thank you all so much for having me, and War Eagle to both of you.
Thank you, Terry.
Well, Jim, you did a great job getting us a speaker, as usual. We will be back in about two more weeks. And in the meantime, people can check out the other shows on bigbrainsmedia.com. One interesting thing of note, apparently we have not been doing a very good job with our Facebook page. Do you know anything about Facebook?
I do not. I know that my face don't look all that good anymore.
Well, James Spann's son, JP, has contacted us, and apparently he has taken over the Auburn Unleashed Facebook page. And so we might be seeing some good posts on there. If you haven't checked us out over there, check us out, like us, whatever those things you do on Facebook. And also check out our Twitter site. We'll be Twittering things in the future, is my understanding.
I don't like birds.
Well, once again, guys, check out bigbrainsmedia.com for the other shows, including I noticed while we're doing the show that Steve Sample over at the Bama Talk Show recently had Andrew Zell, so he's doing a good job over there with that show. And as always, Weather Brains and the other shows that are on there. And we'll close out the show like we always do with a big War Eagle.
War Eagle, boys.
War Eagle.